Georgia Ball's video has gone viral. Perhaps you saw it. She is a PGA pro and golf coach in England. Recently, she was making a video about her golf swing so she could take a look at her flaws, identify her flaws, and make improvements. Well, as she's videoing her golf swing off camera, you hear a male voice speak up and say, "What you're doing there, you shouldn't be doing that." Now, she's a pro. I mean, she's, if she had been less of a humble person, she might have said something like, you know, if you really think I need instruction, why don't we go play 18 holes and the loser pays the winner $10,000? Then we'll talk about instruction. You know, she could have beaten him 100 times out of 100 times and a round of golf. But she's humble. She listens calmly as he tells her how she should do this. He also gives himself credibility, establishes credibility. He's like, "I'm playing for 20 years. You ought to be listening to me." Some are quick to label what he's doing there mansplaining. Mansplaining has been defined as explaining something to a woman in a condescending way, assuming that she is ignorant in some way on the subject. Well, Ball explains that she is adjusting her swing. She is practicing, but the man is not deterred. He continues to tell her, "Hit just one more the way that I've told you, and you'll see how right I am." So she steps up and she thinks, "Okay, I'm just going to hit the ball." And she realizes the pressure now is on me a little bit, but she hits it and it's a beauty. The man says to her, "See how much better that was?" And again, she's just really patient. She says to herself, however, her shot really wasn't any better than the previous one had been. But throughout the exchange, she remains humble. She continues to listen. One commentator watched it and said she has the patience of a saint. I listened to that. I read the article and I thought, have you ever thought of, we talk about mansplaining, I thought, somebody needs to come up with the phrase human-splaining. Because if there is such a thing as human-splaining, then God must have the patience of more than a saint. Let me think about it. Human-splaining is when humans talk to God as though they're smarter than he is, or talk about God and his word as though we're kind of thinking down at God. You know, Romans 11, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, how untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor? And who has ever given to God that God should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." In other words, God began all things. God is beyond all things. Everything is from him. We're all just derivatives. You know, whatever wisdom we have, God had first and has always had a lot higher. But we still tend to human splain. Think about Job in the Old Testament. Suffering makes us human splain sometimes, and certainly that's the case with Job. The longer Job suffers, the more questions he has for God. The more he's essentially angry at God, saying, "God, this is not fair. God, why are you treating me this way? God, why are you so distant? God, I don't deserve this." But after many chapters of silence, God finally responds to Job's human-splaining through an explosion, really. He says, "Who is this who obscures my counsel with ignorant words? Get ready to answer me like a man. When I question you, you will inform me. Where were you when I established the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who fixed its dimensions? Certainly you know." Now, is it always wrong to ask questions of God? No. Is it always wrong to try to understand better? No. But there's a line between legitimate questions and human-splaining questions and responses to God. See, like mansplaining, the core problem with human-splaining is pride. People do this so often when they read the Bible, when they study the Bible. They'll come up with these questions that essentially, there's a big difference between saying, you know, I don't understand how this passage harmonizes with another passage. I don't understand how God can say that he's a God of love in the New Testament, and then he wipes out all the Canaanites, you know, or commands the wiping out of all the Canaanites in the Old Testament. Human-splainers will say, what God does in the Old Testament was wrong because God now is love and wouldn't do that anymore. How can God say love your neighbors and then kill nations? Obviously, he's doing things in a different way than he is. Can you hear the pride? One attitude, put yourself underneath God. God, I want to understand you. God, I assume you are right. I assume the Bible does not contradict, that you are great enough not to contradict yourself in the Bible. The other attitude says God does contradict himself. God isn't big enough to not change over time. It's one thing to suffer and say, God, I don't understand why this is happening or why you've let it happen. It's quite another to feel if God cared, he wouldn't let this happen. If God was good, if God was just, he wouldn't let things happen. He wouldn't create the world in the way that allow the world to function as the way it is. We hear human-splaining so often when people suffer. We also hear it when people try to update biblical morality to fit modern morality. People say, well, homosexuality is immoral. Condemning it is immoral. Because if the Bible were being written today, certainly God would say homosexuality is a good thing. It's just that God wasn't smart enough when he wrote the Bible to include that because he just allowed it to be completely formed by you know, the culture of the day, you know. And so I'll help God by giving a novel translation, an interpretation that's never happened in most of 2,000 years. Or consider our attitude toward patriarchy, for instance. You know, the word patriarchy today sends most people spinning. Even Christian people kind of grimace with the sense of, it's bad. And certainly the way the world exercises patriarchy has been selfish and wrong. But today we try to human-splain. Yeah, I know God's established the world as a patriarchy, as a patriarchal organization. He set up male leadership in the home and in the tabernacle. Yeah, he doesn't talk about how we're condemned by Eve's sin, but we're condemned by Adam's sin because of God's patriarchal organization of the world. Now calling Jesus the second Adam. But God was wrong, you know? If God were as smart as we are, he would create an entirely egalitarian system where there would be no patriarchy. Everybody would just be on the same. Are you ever guilty of human-splaining? You hear God say, be holy as I am holy. And you say, God, you don't really mean completely pure. You don't mean, let me explain to you how, if I'm like this in the worldly way, in the way that I live and things that entertain me, holy, but let me dumb it down so you understand what it means to be holy. You ever tell God you don't really have to obey him? And if he understood you, like the Bible says that we're supposed to put God first in our finances. The Old Testament standard was to give the first fruits, and often it was a tithe, the first 10%. The New Testament, we're told, give generously. Now, if the standard was 10%, generously certainly isn't less than 10%. In fact, if you look at modern tipping, it used to be 15%, and now in most places it's 20%. It kind of increases, actually, as people become more appreciative. But how many people, Christians say to God, less than 10, I'll say 5% of all Christians tithe. That means a whole bunch are human splaining to God. God, I know what your Bible says, but if you were in my situation, you wouldn't say that. Let me explain to you why. Do you ever kind of think you're smarter than God in subtle ways so you don't have to completely obey? Whenever I do that, I hear a man telling a PGA pro, hey, I've been around for 20 years. If you just listen to me, you do it my way. Or should we have the attitude of Paul that worships the depth of the riches and wisdom of and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, how untraceable his ways. For who's known the mind of the Lord, who's been his counselor, who's ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Any place in your life where you're human splaining to God? The antidote to that, of course, is humility. God, you are beyond all. You are wiser than all. Everything good comes from you. Everything that I have is good. That is good comes from you. And so, Lord, help me to just listen and obey and humbly search you out. Heavenly Father, this is our prayer, that we would learn to obey you as Abraham did when he left to go to the promised land. And he went, leaving behind family and fortune and all that he'd known, to go to a place where he'd never been before, just trusting you. So Lord, help us to move forward in this life, trusting you, not trying to explain you away or explain things to you as though we're superior. Thank you for Jesus, for forgiveness through him. Through Christ we pray. Amen.